Hello, everybody. Good to see you all. Great to see some of you 2 days in a row. I'll give everyone a moment. Right. So, I'm so glad that we're here. We're starting a new module today. It's a five session module. There's three live sessions and then two recorded sessions in this module. This module is all about co-creating magnificent visions that flourish, and then strategizing to make them happen. And so today we're going to be looking at co-creating magnificent visions. I like to say that stick and flourish, because a lot of times in coaching, you can create visions that don't stick and don't flourish. We don't want to co-create those. So we're going to be looking deeply at that today. And then you'll be receiving a recording of a demo session. Actually, two different recorded demo sessions on visioning. One is like kind of a more straightforward visioning, and then the other is more visioning through visualization and embodiment. So you'll get a demo for both of those. And then next week, we're gonna continue with visioning and be looking at energetics of new things, which is very important when it comes to visioning and strategizing. And then we'll move into strategizing from there. An important piece to note, next week, we're gonna be meeting on Monday instead of Tuesday. And you've had that in your schedules and hopefully in your calendars since before we began. Next Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I am leading a shadow retreat for advanced depth. And I have learned through the years that it is not a good idea to teach the day before leading a retreat. So we've got our call next Monday instead of next Tuesday. All right. One other just logistics piece. I got a request for a contact list for our group so that you can all just have each other's information and connect with each other. So years and years and years ago, I would always give out contact lists of groups. I always love it. One of the joys of doing this, one of the many, many joys of doing this work, is that you get to see connections that are made and friendships that are made, and it's pretty amazing. Anyway, I always used to give out contact lists, and then unfortunately, there were a couple of situations where people would take all of the email addresses and put them on their newsletter lists and just kind of like that kind of thing. And so we stopped doing the contact list thing. However, I'm open to, I think it'd be cool to revisit it again. And what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna send out an email to everybody in our group, and it's optional, right? So if you want to be part of the contact list, I think we'll ask for your email and phone. And then it'll just be with the understanding that it's for personal use only. So we'll send that out over the next week. And if you want to be part of that list and get that list, just let us know. We'll put it together for you. Okay. All that being said, before we jump into visioning, I want to give you an opportunity to acknowledge yourself for something. We just spend as humans too much time criticizing ourselves and seeing what isn't going right and what could be going better, right? We know this from when we looked at acknowledging and celebrating. And it is just so useful, any opportunity that you can get to celebrate something that is going on. Could be something big and exciting, or it could be something more subtle but equally as important, like you set a boundary for yourself that you maybe never set before. Or maybe even if it was just for 5 minutes, you got in touch with a part of yourself that has really been wanting your attention. So it can be inner or outer, big or small. What's something from over the last week, weekish, that you really wanna celebrate and honor for yourself? Take a moment, make note of that for you. Maybe you asked for support on something, and that's not something that you usually do, and that's a celebration. Maybe you made time for a dance party, for a 5-minute dance party. Maybe you had a client session that you just really want to celebrate. It was a kick-ass client session. Whatever this celebration is for you, take a moment right now and move it from the intellectual level to the body level. So take a moment and feel the celebration. Feel the ownership of whatever this is. Feel it in your body. Take it in. Let yourself own this incredible thing. And if you want to share it in the chat, I'd love for you to share it in the chat and be seen in it as well. What are you celebrating? Alta, you asked your friend to sign an NDA, even though you felt bad about it. Yes. Yes, you took steps to protect yourself. Amazing. Huge celebration. Jolly's saying, it's not doesn't sound weird at all. Sipping water always helps me reconnect to the body. I love that. Sophie launched the webinar. Yay. Emily, you led your first in-person breathwork class. That's amazing. Amy went Latin dancing for the first time since the pandemic. It was amazing. I'm so glad. Michaelin, you scheduled massive support for yourself for this week, especially in light of what we were talking about yesterday, Michaelin. Amazing. Janae committed to a theme for this summer: do less and rest more. Ooh, I like that. I might take on your theme too, Janae. It's a huge celebration. It's awesome. Cecil got some insight on the fear of hurting. Beautiful. Angela had enough of doing things that doesn't serve her. Yes. Yes, having the yes. Ayana asked friends to a dance. I knew someone had a dance party in the circle. Yes. Barbara's been getting consistent 7+ hours of sleep. All of these huge celebrations. Rachel, you were able to bring awareness to jealousy that you were experiencing and that you were, yes, really nice. Dave is using new communication tools. Okay, I'm gonna read through all of these later. These are beautiful. So well done. Okay, so let's talk about visioning and the skill of visioning in coaching and working with clients. And let's start here. What are visions and why are they so important? What is visioning and why is it so important? I always like to start with this quote from Keith Ellis, from a book called The Magic Lamp. This is just a simple, obvious quote, but I think it's one that packs a punch. And here's what Keith Ellis says. When people don't get what they want from life, usually it's because they don't know what they want. When people don't get what they want from life, usually it's because they don't know what they want. Every now and again, right? We don't know what we want, and then we get exactly what we didn't know we wanted. There is that. But, and really, I think so much of coaching is based on this concept. We support our clients to get clear on what they really want. And then from there, we support them to figure out how to get that thing on the inner and outer levels. And of course, there is so much more to this, to the figuring out what you want, than meets the eye. Visioning and supporting our clients to create visions for themselves, as I just said, like it's the heart of any coaching. In so many ways. And sometimes we vision with our clients in bigger ways, right? So we might, at the start of a project or the start of our work with a client, we support them to co-create a bigger, broader vision, like a business of what they want their, a vision of what they want their business to look like, or a vision of what they want their relationship to look like, right? So like or even their whole life, right? So sometimes when we use visioning skills with clients, it's kind of in this bigger vision way. What does their next program want to look like, etc. And then we're also pretty consistently using our visioning skills to support clients. I hate to use the to say it this way, but like we'll just say with smaller visions, right? So how do you want that conversation to go? How do you want to show up, and what do you want that enrollment conversation to look like? That next workshop that you're doing, that business meeting presentation. What do you want the meditation practice to, you know, what's the vision for the meditation practice, et cetera, et cetera. So we are continually supporting our clients to vision these bigger visions and then more short-term visions. And then we're continually supporting our clients to come back to the visions with all four levels of learning and processing. And we'll get to that as well in a little bit. A vision, when we co-create visions with clients, those visions almost become like detailed profiles that are guiding lights for the client. They're detailed profiles that are guiding lights for our clients. The visions are places to aspire to and places to stay aligned with. Co-creating aligned visions also sets the stage for creating compelling personal, organizational, or social change. I'm going to say that again. Take that in for a moment. Visioning sets the stage for creating compelling personal, organizational, or social change. It is easier to create change when we are clear on the change that we want to create. What can oftentimes happen when you don't co-create an aligned vision with your client is that the client will end up kind of meandering aimlessly from goal to goal, but without any real direction. So I kind of like to use, for me, it's helpful to think about like going on a cross-country trip. So if you're starting, let's say, on a cross-country trip in New York, but you haven't identified that you want to end up in San Francisco, you just know that you want to kind of get to the other side of the country, but you haven't identified that you want to end up in San Francisco. You're not going to know which sub goals or how to plot that road out. Do you go to Minneapolis? Do you go to Cleveland? Like where, like how, what is the pathway to get there? But when you know I'm going to San Francisco, then you can plot out the journey, the sub goals, the route to get you efficiently and meaningfully to where you want to go. When we're more vague on the vision, again, it's like there's more kind of meandering. Now, sometimes, and we'll look at this, like sometimes we can't get crystal, crystal, crystal clear, and that's okay too, but we want to work to try to get as clear as we can. When you can co-create an aligned vision with a client. It's really like a strong foundation for all of the rest of the work that you're going to do together. When you don't get the vision right, it becomes much harder. And without the skills, oftentimes what can happen is that you'll co-create visions with clients that are misaligned or not really realistic for them, or visions that the client doesn't actually believe that they can accomplish, or visions that the client doesn't actually desire. All of those things, misalignment, not realistic, not believable, not truly desired, lead to not reaching goals or getting stuck and stymied in goals difficulty achieving goals, lack of motivation, feeling drained, or possibly the hardest, achieving the goal but not feeling happy or satisfied when you get there. And of course, all of this is to say that visions can and do sometimes evolve as you work with a client. That's okay. You just want to be consistently plugging back in and tracking and creating awareness when a vision wants to shift or change or evolve. When we support clients to co-create visions, we want to use all of our listening and creating awareness and questioning skills. And one thing that I just want to point out off the bat is that a lot of practitioners aren't aware that their filters might be getting in the way when they are supporting a client to articulate their vision. This is why we look at listening and filters first in this program. So, because you want to be aware of your own filters as a practitioner always. And co-creating visions is one of those places. So let me give you some examples of this. If you're, I see this happen with a lot of business coaches out there. They're not checking their filters. And so there's just an automatic assumption that their clients are going to want to build empires, right? Because that's what the coach wants, is like they think of business building as empire building. Or if you are a relationship coach or working with a client on relationships, if you're not checking your filter, you may think the ultimate vision for a relationship is marriage, but that might not be true for your particular client, right? So we want to always be checking our filters. Okay. The other piece, just from the outset, before we get into all of the details that is important, is that a lot of practitioners don't realize that most of the time, especially when we're looking at bigger vision, that it takes a deeper dive and a real exploration to get clearer. And part of that reason is because most human beings, unless they've already done the work to get there, don't allow themselves to vision for real. Most human beings don't allow themselves to vision for real. It's because of the ways that we've been conditioned culturally or growing up. Right. And we'll look at a lot of that conditioning on this call today. So, most people either don't allow themselves to vision for real, or they consistently vision, over vision, unrealistic things, and then get frustrated. I'm not going to get on my soapbox for too long about the coaching industry, but I'm just going to like hop on for 1 second. The coaching, there's so many amazing things about the coaching industry, but one of the things that a lot of practitioners are getting wrong right now is that they're promising the sun, the moon, and the stars in their marketing. And it is harmful. It is harmful to clients, and it is harmful to clients to vision, creating a six-figure business in 3 months, finding the relationship of your dreams and having it all there in 6 weeks, whatever it is, it sets clients up for failure, for shame, for self-judgment, for feeling like they'll never be able to. There is a lot of over-visioning that happens. So we always want, and we'll see, like we want highest, biggest possibility, stretchy, all the things, all opportunities open for sure. But when we vision with clients, we want it to be something that is attainable. So let me just ask a couple of questions about this before we go any further. How were you given or not given permission as a child to vision for yourself? How were you given or not given permission as a child to vision for yourself? And I pop that in the chat. Give yourself a moment to journal on that. How are you given or not given permission as a child to vision? Carla's saying in the chat, it was 100% God's will, not mine. Visioning was not a concept in my family. Yeah. Sophie's saying, I was always supported and encouraged to dream, but only within the parameters my parents understood or set up for me. Yeah. Barbara's saying, I had permission to vision career options, but not much else. Lisa saying, I was always shut down. Cecil is saying, the idea of having permission to vision wasn't openly present. There were ideas of shoulds to choose between. Yep, we're going to talk about all of these things. Jolly's saying, realistic goals had to be respectable and money making. I know that one very well. Yes. Sarah's saying, I felt like my visions became contaminated by my parents' unrealized dreams. Yeah, that's a biggie. Ayana's saying, I was given permission to envision heaven being a wonderful afterlife, but trained to not envision anything for myself in this life. Alta, you were allowed to dream big when you were little, but as you were older, told you needed to get more serious. Yeah. Marianne's saying, I was given permission at a surface level with lip service. Women can do anything. But in reality, whenever you shared a vision, if it wasn't what your parents wanted, it was invalidated. Yeah, so we can see already the permission, right? Like it's not such a simple thing to vision with clients because there are things, there are things that get in the way of it. Let me ask a couple of other questions. And some of you have already started answering this next one. What did you learn or not learn from your parents about having a vision? What did you learn or not learn from your parents about even having a vision? Take a moment with that one. What did you learn or not learn from your parents about having a vision? I'm going to ask one more question. And Lane's asking in the chat, what's the difference between a vision and a goal? Lane, we're going to get there in a few minutes. It's worked into the curriculum. Right, here's the last question for right now. I'm going to tell you the question, then I'm going to tell you why I'm asking it. So the question is, how has dominant culture allowed or not allowed you to vision for yourself? How has dominant culture allowed or not allowed you to vision for yourself? And I ask this question, let's see where it wants to go. But one of the reasons why I ask this question is because not always, but more often than not, the more privileges that you have, the more dominant culture allows you to have whatever vision you have. Right? We want to be aware of that for ourselves and when we're working with our clients in terms of internal permission. So, how has dominant culture allowed or not allowed you to vision for yourself? How has dominant culture allowed you or not allowed you to vision for yourself? I'd love to hear a couple of voices on this, all these questions. What's coming through for you? What are you starting to see for yourself? Or for clients from these questions. Who wants to share? What are you seeing? What's coming through? You guys quiet today? I feel like someone wants to raise their hand. Deva.
Video because our power is out today, so I'm on very limited cellular reception. But all of this, there's a lot coming. I remember as a young girl, I wanted to be the president,
Oh,
a teacher, or a nurse.
Deva, it's too hard to hear you.
It's
It's
the
yeah, it's going
yeah.
in and out.
Okay. Sorry.
Sorry. Yeah, hopefully type it into the chat though, and go back and read everything in the chat. Ayana.
Yeah, that's interesting what you said about dominant culture and privilege and visioning, because my family was super extreme to me, like that would be nothing. And I didn't have anyone in the dominant culture saying, you're amazing, you're going to do anything. But there was some of that with like the women's movement and like the women could go to college. And I was able to get a scholarship from a group of women that got me started. And then once I got into college, I started getting the first bits of education of opportunities and possibilities. So in that sense, dominant culture was actually a saving grace for me.
Yeah. That's awesome, right? It's like a, in that case, sort of a offset point to some of those personal pieces.
Yeah. And thank you for asking that question. I never thought about it before because dominant culture has been so oppressive in so many ways, but I'm like, wow, when I think of it this way, I mean, it was my salvation. So yeah. Thank you. And I'm really grateful.
Nice. Jackie.
Yeah, hi. I find this conversation very interesting because my introduction into the coaching world at large has very much been founded in visioning. And it's, you know, universal principles and, you know, dream big and like really opening people up to the dreaming and the visioning that's really foundational into the program that launched me into the coaching world. And so, but before that point, I was very, very shut down. I wasn't aware of the things, but in my journey into the business world, it's been very challenging. I think I've just lived the reality of what you're talking about with like how difficult visioning is for people because of programming and this and that and all sorts of things. Anyway, so this has just opened me up to a deeper awareness around like, why I've struggled with so many of the struggles. And I'm really grateful that you even mentioned how it can be damaging for people, because I think I've been on the receiving end of that in multiple avenues and areas of working with different people. So anyway, just really appreciate this whole conversation.
Yeah. I'm so glad you're getting all that. And that's exactly why we're looking at this in this deeper way, because there's so much more than meets the eye for humans when they go to really vision. Good. Anna.
Hello. So what's surfacing for me, I think it's multi-layered in some ways. In that, like, I certainly had a lot of privilege growing up, but that also came from there's a certain way that you're supposed to live life in order to be successful, which usually looks like there's a set of careers that usually involve an office job that have a trajectory for you to earn a good amount of money. And then that's how you can have the things that you want by, you know, selling your soul to this way of life. And for me, a big part of my journey was kind of bumping up against the walls of, like, as long as I was within that, you know, the guardrails of that acceptable life, anything was possible, quote unquote. But as soon as I started to realize those things don't really feel aligned for me, that's when I started to see that I was so far out of touch with what I actually wanted that I had no idea. Like, it's taken a long time for me to even see and follow the breadcrumbs of what I actually want. And every step of the way, it takes me further away from what's a typically accepted view in society. And I get so much pushback from everyone and that I know at every step of the way. So just seeing how it even changed the way that I was even in touch with who I am and also with life in general. So
yeah, so beautifully said. Thank you for sharing that. And what you're sharing, like, goes to one of these points that I want to make about visioning, is that true visioning is actually a revolutionary act. It is an act of undoing, you know, we could call it like patriarchal capitalist messaging in order to find inside of us what is really right for us.
One like add on to that too, that I forgot, is again, in the world that I grew up in, it's like, if you can logically explain your choices, then they can be much more accepted. So again, that kind of journey into I mean, my heart and my intuition have, it's not logical at all. And I think that that can be really difficult for people to embrace or understand.
Yeah, thank you. Yes. Barbara.
I just wanted to speak to that gap that I feel. I veered off course when I was in college. It's like, okay, you know, these patriarchal family expectations, I'm like, they're not fit. And I veered off course. And but that concept of like visioning, it wasn't like, oh, I want this life. It was like, I took this step and this is what played out. You know what I mean? Or I made that choice, and because of that, those opportunities were closed down. And so, like, I love the concept of visioning, and I can come up with such imaginative, deep, energizing, but that gap I experience so often between, well, what steps would be required? You know, like blueprinting. Somebody posted in the chat something about blueprinting, and it's like, that's just so I love this idea of, you know, visioning with clients, and I see this, you know, I'm not quite sure what you mean by aligned, because I heard that
I'm gonna get into all of the details.
That's great. Yeah. But it's like, oh yeah, now how am I gonna help? Because if I don't know how to take the steps to realize my vision, how am I gonna be that person? I mean, I can hold a space for somebody, but.
Well, yes. Well, first of all, remember, no myth of perfection ever, 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 right? Like we are, all of us are messy in our, right? All the human ways. We don't have to be perfect to help others. But that's exactly why I put visioning and strategizing together in the same module, because after the vision, we need to kind of also know how to strategize and execute. And then of course, after that, we get into our modules of all the fears and the obstacles that come up in the execution. So there is a method to my madness.
Yes, yeah, so I'm sure there is. I'm like maybe just anticipating the next step. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I haven't caught all of the shares in the chat, and I can't wait to go back and read through all of them. There's just so much of the little bit that I am catching in the chat, so much richness. Kendra, I'm so glad that question about dominant culture sparked your share. Yes, so important to like see that and be aware of that for yourself and for clients. Sophie too, you know, that question about dominant culture just showing you new things that you've been given free rein in some ways to vision whatever you wanted as a white woman born in one of the richest countries in the world, right? And so that's another filter checking piece that is just so important when we're working with clients on visioning. Sarah is always visioning things that were far ahead of her time. The little I know of you, Sarah, that makes total sense to me. All right, let's keep on going, because there's so much more here today. We're just starting to scratch the surface. I want to look at some guidelines for visioning well and effectively with clients. And the first is just kind of when to be visioning with clients. So, I always start a coaching cycle with taking time, sometimes even the full first session, to support a client to co-create the vision that they want to achieve either in the time that we're working together, or it might be even further out. Then we'll like figure out how far we're gonna, you know, get. And we even start to do this in the sales conversation too. Like that is a piece of the sales conversation. You know, what is the vision? What is it that you want to achieve? How can working with me get there? But in a first session, or the better part of a first session, I really like to set that strong foundation so that we know we're starting in New York and we're going to Portland or right, wherever we're going. And then, of course, as I said earlier, with the understanding that visions are subject to change and that resetting and checking in on visions are really important. We don't want to just like go on autopilot, like we've mapped it out, and then just assume that we're still going for San Francisco and we're still going for San Francisco and we're still going for San Francisco. It doesn't mean that you've done anything wrong as a coach or practitioner if your client's vision has shifted or changed, so long as you don't just let it go on without acknowledging it and then shifting the plan and the strategy around it. I personally, and this is like, and as I said on our very first call, I just like, I'm sharing things for you to consider and find your own truth in. I'm not sharing the truth with the capital T, but I'll just say for me personally, I have never liked the question of what's your five-year vision. I personally just can't see ahead that far. Like I don't know where my business is gonna be in 5 years, as an example. I don't know where I'm gonna wanna live in 5 years. That kind of thing has never worked for me. I can do like a year out-ish, maybe a little bit more. But in general, and I find for a lot of my clients, sometimes the five-year thing can be like a vague, nice guiding light. Sometimes a client is really clear. They've got big plans, but it can be pressure-filled too. So we don't need to go for 5 years out. Yeah, Amy's saying she's so, that's a relief. Yes. No, it doesn't have to look like that. Okay, another foundational principle, know the difference between a vision and a goal. So Lane asked about this in the chat. We can think about the vision is like, it's a little bit bigger, right? So that year or 6 months or year and a half or, you know, whatever it is, a goal is a marker on the journey to that vision. So sometimes those two can be interchanged. You know, sometimes it is just semantics. But I do like to think of like, we've got the bigger vision, and then this, like, let's say there's a bigger vision of filling a year-long program, you know, developing and filling a year-long program with ideal clients, and we like really build out the vision of what that program is and what it looks like and what, you know, all of the things. Maybe the first goal is the title, you know, what's the title, right? Like that's a goal. Another goal is the sales page. Another goal is the actual curriculum, et cetera, et cetera. Or here's some other examples. Maybe a vision is supporting a client to get fully clear on what hormonal health looks for them. And then one goal on the way is managing their blood, learning how to manage their blood sugar to get to that bigger vision of hormonal health. Maybe a vision is an incredible romantic relationship and getting to all of the pieces of what that romantic relationship is. And then maybe a goal on the way is getting the online dating profile up and running. A lot of people, and this happens in coaching sometimes too much, a lot of people jump to the goals before setting the vision. And that's then when you don't have that guiding light anymore. So, you know, here are some examples of that. You're deciding whether or not you should run an ad for your work but you don't have your, you don't know what the vision for your business is for the next year. Well, it's really hard to then make the decision, should I run an ad, shouldn't I run an ad, should I do this or should I do that, if you don't know where you're ultimately going. Deciding to ask for a raise, having a little bit more of a vision of your career, where you want to be going in your career, just that alone can support a client to make a better decision about asking for a raise or not asking for a raise. That makes sense? Okay, so we want to know those differences between the visions and the goals. Knowing the vision helps so much to articulate the goals and move forward on the goals. Here's another foundational principle for co-creating visions. This is an obvious one. If you're here, I know you know this, but we're going to kind of look at it a little bit more deeply. Know the difference between a desire and a should. Know the difference between a desire and a should. Way too much of the time, and I fall into this myself, sometimes we set goals based on shoulds versus I deeply, deeply desire this. And some of that is absolutely because of what Anna was talking about earlier, right? Like just we get all these shoulds, you know, from culture. And then those shoulds become these beliefs that we don't inspect. And then we're like moving forward on autopilot with them. Almost every single time, not always, but almost every single time when I realize that I'm overwhelmed in my business, when I take a few steps back and look at what's going on, it's because I've like created what I want, you know, like the vision, like these are the amount of programs or whatever. And it's come more from that should. I should be doing more. I should be earning this much money, like versus what is it that I truly want for this phase or this period or this year in my business. I've already given a bunch of examples, but just a couple of others, difference between a desire and a should. Should might be to get married, but maybe the actual desire is to be in a loving partnership. Should might be to lose 50 pounds, but maybe the desire is to feel sexy. Not necessarily attached to any weight loss at all. Maybe a should is I want to be this parent that's always on time and always has the homemade cookies on the table and everything is great. I've fallen into that just for a second though, because that's so not me. But maybe the deep desire is I want to have enough time to help the kids with the homework, right? And to really be fully present to my children. That's different than trying to go for all the things. Okay, so how do you know when you're working with a client or with yourself the difference between a desire and a should? Well, there are a couple of ways that you can know. Barbara's hit on one in the chat. Desires are products of the heart, not of the mind. Shoulds are products of the mind. Desires and true visions are products of the heart. And so we want to keep this in mind when we are working on a vision with our clients, because we want to ask heart and body centered questions. So we want to ask less questions of like, well, what do you think you want your business to look like? versus maybe we start with, how do you want your business to feel? I want it to feel spacious and exciting. As you sense in to your heart and you feel that spaciousness, what images come to mind for your business? What ideas come to mind for your business? If a client mentions, oh, I wanna, you know, I wanna bring 10 clients in, or, you know, like whatever the vision is, you might ask, where do you feel that desire in your body, right? To start to help see, like, is that a desire or a should? Another way, so first of all, in terms of this, visions are products of the heart. One of the demos that I'm gonna share this week, I lead the client through a visualization that's fully heart-centered. So you'll get a demo on that. Sometimes just asking a client to place a hand on their heart. And like, if they're like, well, I don't know what I want how that business meeting to go, or, you know, what it should look like or whatever, place a hand on your heart, connect in with your heart. What does your heart want for that vision, for that meeting, right? So again, visions are products of the heart. Another question that can oftentimes help you determine, you and your client determine if what they're sharing is a desire or a should, is this question: whose vision is that? Because a lot of times it's like your father's vision, right? Or your family's vision or whatever. It's not, whose vision is that? Sometimes a number question can be helpful in determining the difference between a desire and a should. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you really want this? How much do you desire this? You could ask a question also, what is the should in this scenario and what is the desire in this scenario, right? So we want to be on top of that when we're co-creating visions. Something that can really help us, another thing that can really help us with this, and this is another foundational principle, but it's related. The more that we can support our clients to become aware of what their core values and priorities are, the more we can be aware of what our clients, our particular clients' core values and priorities are, the more we can really hold the space for the most aligned vision possible. If we don't define our values and our priorities, then our lives are misaligned from our hearts and from what is true for us. And then that's when our lives become based on other people's or our society's values or needs or priorities. Does that make sense? So I sometimes ask this in the welcome packet, but just through conversation, I'm always using listening skills to pick up what are my clients' core values, right? And we'll have conversations about that. So for example, if one of your clients' core values is integrity, that's gonna be a guiding light when you create a vision for how they're going to have a conversation with their sister about, you know, a fight that they had, or, right? Versus if that client's core value is clarity or freedom, you'll get to similar places, but the nuances are going to be different, and then the client's connection to that vision that you create is going to be different. If I know that I have a client that values spaciousness over money, and not everybody does, right? But if I know that I have a client that values spaciousness over money, when I see that they're adding more things to their schedule that will create more money but detract from their spaciousness, I'm going to point that mismatch out for them. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Let me ask a couple of quick questions on this. What's one part of a vision or a goal that you're working on right now? What's one vision or goal that you're working on right now that's based on a deep desire of yours? What's something that you're working on right now that's really based on a deep desire of yours? And then maybe what's one part of a vision or a goal that you're working on right now that you're seeing is actually based on a should and not a desire? And I'm seeing in the chat that there are some questions. I'll get there, I promise. A couple other questions to think about. What's one thing, and by the way, no judgment on this, it's just good to be aware. What's one thing that you're doing in your life right now that's really more for someone else's satisfaction than for yours? And why are you doing that thing then? Right? No judgment doesn't mean you shouldn't continue to do it, but just for self-awareness. What's one thing that you're doing right now that's really more for somebody else's satisfaction than for yours, and why? I'll pop that into the chat. Carla's saying these are hard questions. These are hard questions. Tina, the second question was, what's something that you're doing right now that's based on a should? Okay, one more cue. And I'd love to hear a voice or two on this one. How do you know inside of you the difference between a desire and a should? How do you know inside of you the difference between a desire and a should? Jackie.
This is a really powerful question as I sat and thought about it, but I think for me, I think you're spot on. Like, desires, first of all, like, I've had to practice listening to my desires, which comes from a space of giving myself permission to actually want something, like that it's part of my feminine divine nature to have desires, and that I had to learn to shift into honoring that. So having that as a foundation, how I recognize the difference primarily is that my desires most of the time are not coming from my brain space, like we've already talked about. They really are on this deep, this deeper level, right? Where sometimes it doesn't make logical sense to other people or even to myself in that moment. So that's really interesting. Sometimes I don't even know how to put words to it, right? But it does feel very expansive, like, yes, like it gives me more life. So those are my desires. And then my shoulds, the way that I recognize them is, like, they can be tricky. They can be really sneaky and they show up all over the place, but I can usually identify them because it's usually somebody else's voice in my head. Yeah. It's really a voice that I've heard a long time, whether it's like society at large or, you know, a parent or my spouse or whoever, but it's usually somebody else's voice that then I've kind of taken on as my own. So that's how I distinguish them.
Yeah. Beautiful. So nice. And what one of, you know, we're, as with everything in this program, we're exploring both for ourselves and our own self-knowledge, and also to have all of this wisdom for when we work with clients, right? And all of this wisdom at our disposal. It's so important. Kendra.
Hello. All right, so I've been sitting here in tears with my camera off. This is really deep. So what I would say is, for me, and we've hit on this already, but a should feels very much kind of controlling and by the book and something that you have to check off the list to say, yes, I did do that. A desire feels very, like I wrote down, a desire feels like no work and it's based on receiving. Desire is just like, I just want to receive this because it feels good. Right. I just want it to be this way simply because it feels good and not because of some external reason that has to do with, you know, status or accomplishment or money, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Go ahead. Were you gonna
say that now? Well, I was just gonna say, what was interesting is that you mentioned spaciousness, and that is a value of mine, is spaciousness. And I'm in this, I guess you would call it winter period in my business, where I'm streamlining everything for there to be spaciousness. I'm like, okay, enough of all of this. You need to have 10 different programs and have this many of this and that. Just, I'm streamlining that to feel more spacious. But at the same time, I do value money as well. Like, I have a deep desire to be wealthy, not from the mindset of because it means something, but because I think of all of the opportunity that it provides for my family and for the people that I can help and for the, you know, my children and my children's children and all those things. And so I'm finding myself looking at, how do I reconcile this desire for a material wealth with also this heart desire of just wanting to be in my heart and wanting to just teach and wanting to do all the things that we typically learn in school, or like the soft things to do, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I think that dovetails with that question that you asked earlier in the chat, when you're like, the desire feels spaciousness, but then when I think about the strategy and the doing things, I forget what word you use, you know, it feels constricting, right? Yeah. And so I'm so glad that you're bringing that in. That's kind of what the rest of the program is about. Like, how do we, but it's, you know, I think that, you know, one of the important pieces here is we have those expansive desires, and then it's like we go to take the actions and the fear, right? Because you can take expansive, you know, actions that feel expansive and spacious. Not to say that you're not going to have to hustle sometimes. I mean, I definitely hustle sometimes, but when I know that it's for a short period, when I'm keeping my core values in mind, that I'm not, I don't want to hustle for more than
right
or 2 weeks, and I know that it's getting me to more freedom and spaciousness, then it feels different to move through it versus the times when I'm in hustle because I haven't been clear on the values and the vision. Is it helpful to think of it that way?
It is helpful. And it's, I feel like that's where I am getting to. Like, I'm in year six of my business, Joanna, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can feel it. Like it's an embodied feeling. Whereas before it was like, oh, I want a business because I want to have freedom. Da, 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 da. And now it's like, no, I want to have a business because I want the spaciousness and I want all these things. And you're right. If I can, when I do connect the longer term place of where I want to be, it's like, okay, I can go hard this week and make sure that I put into my schedule a couple of days to rest and to do nothing and to just be.
Yes. That is part of the bigger vision with the core values.
Right. But it's so, this feels revolutionary for me because it's like, I'm just going to be straight with you. As a Black woman, we do not sit and think about desires.
That's why I asked that question about dominant culture. Yes. This is so important. Yeah. Sorry, I interrupted. Keep on going.
Yeah. No. I'm just so glad that you brought this up because it makes me sad, but some anger has also come up within me as well as I'm listening to you because I'm like, wow, it just makes me angry because we live in a world that's so abundant and we can do the things that we really want to do. But so many of us are just like shrunk into these boxes and it feels like to this day, like I can still see it. I see it.
Yeah.
And it's when you can see it and you don't know that you see it and you know that what you're doing in your business is contributing to like what the other side of the story gets to be, but then you're feeling like, man, I'm just this little small speck in this big world of things that need to change. But anyway, this is good. Thank you for
bringing you're this so up. Welcome. I know anger is not always comfortable, but I'm so glad that it's rising to the surface because I see that you've got some life force in there. And it's helping you untangle some things that, so I'm so happy to see it. Thanks for sharing all of that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm not going to take all the raised hands because I still have a lot that I want us to look at today, but I'm going to take one or two more. Carla.
Hi. I had to raise my hand when I realized thinking about desire and answering the question, whatever the question was, I just felt the desire bump up against all the expectations. And I'm thinking about, my partner, and which is probably mirroring other expectations of my ex-partner and my parents, and probably 100% I'm projecting it all, because even though occasionally he'll say things that make me like, oh, I've got to hide because he just judged my desire or judged how I'm spending my time, my business. So anyway, I just wanted to speak that out because it's like where my breakthrough edge is, and I've been working on it. You probably heard me say stuff like this before. I'm teaching it and it's in my face. So, and Kendra talking about what she's talking about and the other people, this is really big. It's like, I won't go anywhere until I can, it's like my mission is to allow my desire free flow, free reign, and speaking it. I think I remember journaling that last week and I forgot it instantly.
So we need it more and more.
Yeah.
But I'll say, Carla, based on what you're sharing, if this feels resonant, here's the homework I want to give you this week. I want you to track yourself and catch yourself in the moments where your desire is starting to feel clamped down by other people's expectations. And I want you to name it internally for yourself in the moment. Ugh, I'm making myself small, or I'm judging myself, or I'm distracting myself because I just hit on what I think mm-hmm. is another person's expectation. And I want you, if you can, to like pause on that and give yourself space so that you can untangle from just like the quick, you know, reacting mm-hmm. to it. Mm-hmm. And then I want you to invite you to respond from there versus react from there and see what happens.
So by respond, like responding to myself or responding to the individual, because a lot of this is just happening yeah. in my head.
Any and all of the above. Okay. So when I say that, I mean, I want you to say, oh, Carla, oh, self. Yeah, I'm shrinking right now because I think he thinks mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. Hold on. Yeah. What's the truth here for me right now? Right. And then that might be it. Or, and then there might want to be an action from there, but see if you can name those moments and slow those moments down and bring yourself back to your awareness and your highest self in those moments.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I lay down to sleep last night. I am so angry. I am so angry. I am so angry. I couldn't sleep because I was angry. And I think that's what desire that just kind of starts bouncing around. It happens, anger happens. So I just mentioned that one since it's going around.
Yes. Yeah, thank you. AJ and Annalise, I wanna hear what you have to say, but I also wanna try to get through a little bit more of our curriculum for today. So I'll open up for cues in the end. Okay, let's look at a few more foundational pieces for visioning. Next piece, we already looked at this, but just to say again, give permission for true visioning. And that includes giving permission to break rules and expectations. Give permission for true visioning, which includes giving your client permission to break rules and expectations. We've already seen throughout the call today why that's so important. I'll just share a couple of questions that can help with this. This next one is from the Magic Lamp. Again, I love this question. What would you really want to accomplish if you were absolutely, positively certain you would do it? What would you want to accomplish if you were absolutely, positively certain you would do it? Here's another take on that. What would you really want from life, or what would you really want from your business, or what would you really want from relationship, right? Whatever it is you're working on. If you were absolutely, positively certain you would get it. See, that gives permission. What would you do differently, wherever, in your business, in your home, in your relationship, in your whatever, in your yoga practice, if you were absolutely, positively certain that it was okay? If you were absolutely positive, right? Here's another question. What would it look like if you would give yourself full permission to have what you want here? Okay, another foundational principle for visioning. Make it a stretch. So we don't want it to be unrealistic, but we do want it to be a stretch, or else they wouldn't need really our help and support, right? And our clients are in it for the growth. My philosophy on any vision setting or goal setting is doable with a stretch, doable with a stretch. Cheryl Richardson, I forget which book of hers, but she talks about, and I love this, stretch, risk, or die. Stretch, risk, or die. So it's kind of like, let's say you're working with a client and they want to they want a relationship, a romantic relationship. Whatever actions they're going to take, you want to keep those actions or the vision, you know, whatever it is, you want to keep it in stretch or risk, but not, I'd rather die than do that. Every now and again, you're going to get a client that it's good for them to go to the, like, I'd rather die than do that and like take, do that. But for the most part, we want to stay in a, right? So like you can ask a client, you know, what would be a stretch here with dating? And the client, for the stretch, it might be, okay, I'm going to go on that blind date that my mom wants to set me up on. Maybe the risk is the dating app. Maybe the I'd rather die than do that is like ask their coworker that they think is cute out on a date, right? So we want to kind of be tracking like what are our clients' stretch and risk zones? And, you know, of course we want to keep things easy sometimes too, for sure. But we want to bring them into their stretch and risk zones. So on your resource sheets, you'll get some inner questions for yourself around all of this. One question, a different kind of way you can bring people into a stretch versus asking them what's the stretch, risk, or die. If you added one outrageous element to this vision that was just really stretchy and felt so good for you, what would it be? Another important foundational element when we're co-creating visions with clients is for our visions to believe that they can achieve the vision. If they don't believe that it is possible, right? So we want it to be a stretch, but we want it to be doable, and we want our clients to really believe that it's doable for them. And so sometimes when we're creating a vision with a client, if we sense it's coming from their desire, but they're not buying that it's possible for them, we want to ask some questions that are going to help our client support them in that. So for example, what are some inner, these are all versions of celebration questions. What are inner resources? What inner resources do you have that will help you achieve this? What outer resources do you have that will help you achieve this? What have you already created that gives you evidence that you can do this too? What parts of yourself are you ready to lean into in order to be able to achieve this? Right? And then that becomes part of the coaching work that you do together as well, going deeper with those pieces. So you want it to be believable, and you also want it to be exciting. You want to support your client to feel excitement about the vision. What will be possible for you when you achieve this vision? How will it feel when you achieve this? Where in your body do you feel excited about this? And even from there, you could do then a whole inner dialogue with that part of their body about what their body wants them to know about that vision, or more pieces or details about the vision. All right, I'll mention a few other things. When you're working with a client to help them create their vision, be willing to reflect the truth, right? We looked at reflecting the truth in our creating awareness module. Be willing to reflect the truth. So what I mean by that, if you after checking your filters, if you sense that the vision is too small or not aligned, be willing to reflect that truth. If it sounds as if what they're sharing is based on fears or expectations, be willing to reflect that truth. if the vision, if they're thinking it's going to happen in 6 months, but you know from your expertise that it really takes a year to 2 years, be willing to reflect that truth. Always watch your filters and your own agenda, check all of that, and then share. Visions don't always come at once, right? I know we think like if we're perfect practitioners in one session, the client is just gonna know, no, no, if we ask all the right questions. Sometimes that happens and it's amazing. But in real human messy life, sometimes it needs more space. Slow it down. You know, allow for things to drop in as they're ready to drop in. Go with what you got. And then allow for things to drop in. Every now and again, a client can get too like, I need to find the right perfect vision. And then they like kind of grip and tighten, and then they're blocked from their creativity and their desire and to be able to vision. And so you want to watch for that too, and then help break that pattern, bring some playfulness into it, you know, support them to relax, save it for another time, you know, whatever it is. So sometimes you want to switch it up. Last thing for today that I'll mention is know what season your client is in. And what I mean by that in this context is some seasons are for visioning and planting seeds and then doing. And then some seasons in our lives are about releasing, destroying, grieving, being in the mystery. There's nothing more frustrating than trying to push yourself into a vision when it's just not the right season for it. Okay. We've covered a lot on our call. We have many more calls to go deeper with all of this. Let me give you some homework, and then we'll open up for cues and takeaways. So first of all, what are you taking? I know we've looked at a lot of like pieces, but what are you really taking for yourself from our time together today? What's feeling really important? Take a moment and note that for yourself. You want to hear some of those in a minute. What are you taking for yourself? What's feeling really important? In terms of homework, if you're working with a coaching partner in Sacred Depths, it's going to look a little bit different over these next few weeks. So over for your next two partner sessions, instead of you both coaching, you know, half and half, take one full session for one, and then one full session the next time for the next. And the homework is to spend, you know, a good 40 minutes or so supporting your partner to create a vision for themselves, either for their life or for their business or for their relationship, you know, whatever is important for them. But take that like slow, juicy time to support your partner to create a vision. And then flip for the next session. You'll get resource sheets and homework sheets with questions. But the other piece of homework, I think this is written in the resource sheets, but just in case not, and I'll pop it into the chat too. If you're working with clients, I want to invite you to go through your client roster and go through each client and ask yourself, are you clear or clear enough on this client's vision? Are they clear or clear enough on their vision? Do you sense that their vision has shifted since you last spoke about it and it needs to have another look? is this client connected or have they disconnected to their vision? And then how do you want to bring this into your work with those clients? So I'll pop that into the chat. All right, any last thoughts or shares before we wrap for today, Lane? You there, Lane? And sorry for the background noise. There's lawn mowing going on in my yard.
I'll try to speak up. I have a question about how we distinguish should from resistance.
Yeah, it's such a great question. I hate to say, can you wait till we get to resistance archetypes? But it will take so that's the real answer, is we're getting there because there's lots of pieces that you want to look for. But the kind of quicker thing I'll give you to play with is think about the difference inside of you, either your body or your head, between a should and a resistance. What's the difference for you there?
My expectation, mostly from outside, I think system-driven.
Yeah, I could only hear a little bit. I don't know if it's because of my sound or you. So you say that one more time.
Feel like a should is framed or influenced by external expectations, and resistance is driven by internal fear.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And if this fits into that, you know, because everybody is different, always coach the what based on the who. But what I have found by and large is the shoulds we hear in our heads, the resistances feel like a block in the body, like almost energetically. Does that land for you?
Yeah.
So you can use that, you know, with clients too. And explore around that.
Thank you.
Annalise.
Oh, I'm on mute. Joanna, I'm wondering whether sometimes we have to actually work with shoulds in order to get to desire, and how do we better engage, because you know that I'm going through a should at the moment, hate it, but I know I have to get there for my dream, for my desire. So what's the best way? Yeah. Although it's not an external, it's something that needs to be done, right? Sometimes the should.
So it's right. This is very similar to what Kendra was bringing up, is like sometimes the action steps, there can be resistance to the action steps to get to the desire. And that happens for me, I don't say all the time, but it happens often. Like sometimes I don't want to market it. I just want to do the program. I don't want to market the program and get the sales page ready and get the people and this and that, right? So there are a lot of things that can help us with that. So number one, even within the more like shoulty action steps, we want to make sure that they line up with our values. So I'm never gonna like do any kind of marketing that feels out of integrity for me, as an example, because that's a big value of mine, right? So we want to have those core values as the guiding light, even for those things that can help. We want to look at how can we infuse the feeling, the outcome of the vision, like the feeling that we want to have, how can we infuse those? And we'll look at a lot of this when we look at strategizing too. How can we infuse that feeling into the action steps and then around the action steps as well? Those pieces can really help us, even if it's not the thing that we really want to do, but it like is going to help us get there. It can help bring us
and
forward.
What would be best for the client? That's for us, but how do we sort of like, of course, we can link the shoulds to the values or shoulds to the desire. What else can we do to help?
So that's a big piece. And then the other is, I mean, and we'll get into all of this. I mean, there's so many pieces to this. Some of this is about resilience and like being willing, right? And being willing to be uncomfortable. Because sometimes the resistance is just like, ugh, that's uncomfortable. I don't want to do that thing, right? So part of the work is building resistance. Part of the work is looking at the fears. Sometimes like the actual thing, it's not that hard to do, but all of our fears around it are just making, it's that takes up so much energy that it makes it harder. So that's going to be a time release throughout the rest of the program as we look at all the different pieces.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, everyone, thanks. Oh, Nell, did you have a question or a share?
Yes. I think my hand went down by itself, maybe. Are you going to touch more on helping people kind of gain clarity on their vision? Because I know personally, and this is like a big question to ask at the very end of the day, but I know I personally in my own life, like I've had a lot, I often can identify what I don't want from trying it. And I have sometimes a hard time envisioning, you know, being clear on, you know, what I do want. And sometimes it's like a feeling. I know I want a certain feeling or my life to be a certain way, but the specifics are very hard to.
Yeah.
So I just wonder, I'm sure I'm not alone.
So in a couple of ways. So first of all, in the resource sheets for today, I have like provide lots of different questions, as well as like the breakthrough questioning. Sorry, I just got distracted by something that I'll tell you in a second. You'll appreciate it. The breakthrough questioning sheets have different visioning questions in there. Mm-hmm. I'm also going to be dropping two different types of visioning demos with a client. One that's more of a visualization, and you'll note all of the questions and the ways that I do it there. And then one that's more of like an intellectual conversation that's very heart-centered. And so you'll get lots of different ideas. And then if you still have questions after that, let me know. My grandmother had the same rummy box that growing up.
Oh, it's mine.
I love it. It's just like it holds a memory for me. So thanks for bringing that in today.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, everybody. Sending lots of love. Let me know how things evolve this week. I'll see you soon. Bye.